comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joining me as always, he is the reigning and defending, undefeated, undisputed co-host of the year. Almost said world heavyweight champion, and that's why I paused. He is none other than Mike Brock Lesnar. Wishes he was this cool Lesnar. I mean, that's Luther. True. Wait. I feel like I need to do it all over again, but I'm not going to.
Nah.
Where are you going to start calling you Mike Lesnar?
I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but I took the dogs out right before we started here. And so they're all hyped up now, and they were playing with each other on my bed. And now one, for some reason, is trying to dig on my bed, and I don't know why. Like, legit, like, just pawing at my bed. Mm-hmm. Ivy, you can't dig on my bed. It's not dirt.
So my dog has done something similar. It's less digging and more rearranging. Like, I think what it is in Coco's case is, like, she's trying to kick up, like, fluffing the bedspread or you know,
comforter.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for using my brain, fluffing up the comforter to make an even more cushiony spot for herself.
Well, that's very, very smart of her.
She's something else. She also booked it. You know, when we were recording the YouTube show, she was on the floor behind me, and now she's not there, and she's probably on the couch or someplace far, far away from me.
Yes.
So, Mike, I don't know how much we've got to get to in this episode, but let's just dive right in. It's almost 11 o'clock already.
Let's do it.
Place we like to start everybody every week, every episode, is the book. The good book. It's the League of Regrettable Superheroes Loot Crate Edition. It is by John Morris. And I opened up to a random page, as we always do. And I'm like, oh, we've done that one. Went back a page. Oh, we've done that one. Went back about three or four pages before finally landing on page 16 and 17. So, this particular character debuted in Popular Comics number 54. It was actually Dell Comics, like Dell like the computer, but back when they made comics, apparently, in August of 1940, created by Robert Bug with two G's, and he is known as Dr. Hormone.
I'm waiting to hear more.
Oh, I thought you were going to react to the name first.
It's a shock. But I need to hear more.
Okay, Mike. When did Captain America make his comics debut?
In the 40s, 40s, 50s. I guess
it was March of 1941. So this predates Captain America by 9 months, or very close to it.
Okay.
The tagline underneath Dr. Hormone says, "You want to stop death? I can stop it. I will increase the size of your army. I will make your soldiers immune to death."
Ooh.
In what is an excerpt from an actual page of a Dr. Hormone book, it says, "Hormone, the great American scientist, master of the secrets of youth and age, animal and man, gallantly offering his service to little Novoslavia, has helped crush their formidable enemy, Eurasia, in an historic battle. For all his youthful appearance, the doctor is the grandfather of Jane, the saucy little lady with him. Indeed, Hormone was well past 80 when he discovered the secret of youth and became young again." So, he's creepy.
Yes. Sounds very creepy.
And the way that they describe Jane, the saucy little lady, and looking at the imagery, she is 12.
Oh, God.
So, when you hear Dr. Hormone, what do you think?
I think teenager.
Okay, so you went that particular direction with I was thinking like human growth hormones. You know, like it looked good on your pre-workout or your protein powder. It was a short-lived superhero who briefly stood against the forces of tyranny in the early 40s. We already recognize that he's an aged scientist. He spent his whole life studying the beneficial powers of hormones. Dr. Hormone apparently is his real name. He rejuvenated upon his deathbed by a youth hormone of his own invention, plus a spin under his Angstrom Ray machine. Now a fit and energetic young man of 25, the doctor and his granddaughter Janie bring the mighty power of hormones to benefit the world. Old women are made young again. Babies are grown into men. Boy Scout troops transformed into full-grown soldiers. And an entire nation is transformed into half-animal human hybrids to repel an invading army. Actually, this is almost compelling. Maybe it's just the way that I'm reading it.
There's a very creepy undertone to it, though.
Yes.
With, hey, Boy Scouts, no, they're men now.
But here's the thing, and we've seen this time and again in, in Jumanji, and I don't mean like the Rocks versions, although they're fine. But Alan, is brought back, the Robin Williams character, he's still very much a child. Also in Jack, another Robin Williams character. Who ages faster than, normal children. But we see this in Big is another example. You can put a preteen, tween, teenager in a fully grown adult body, but they don't have the mental maturity to, act right, to know, all the nuanced things of being an adult. Like, what do they know about paying bills and, buying income protection and retirement savings. They know nothing of that. They're just going to blow all their money. So, and the half animal human hybrids, they don't have an image here. I'm very curious to know what they would have looked like. Let's see. During a half dozen adventures, Dr. Hormone pitted the power of his transformative hormone pills first against the evil nation of Eurasia, and then against an even more insidious foe, subtly dubbed Nazia. The aggressive warlike nation was the doctor's persistent enemy throughout the remainder of his adventures. Apparently, eternal youth and half-animal soldiers could take Dr. Hormone only so far. In his final appearance, he and his granddaughter are aided in their struggle to keep Texas free of Nazians and their hooded allies, unmistakably dubbed the Klan. A little on the nose there, Robert Bug. By a mysterious, unseen presence calling itself the Thinker, a disembodied voice wielding tremendous power, the Thinker grants Dr. Hormone some of his awesome strength. Doc becomes a giant, blows a plane out of the air with super breath, the usual. I just want to see how many actual episodes or issues that this, this particular character had. It doesn't say. It says, I'm going to read you this entire last paragraph because it's mind-blowing. At the end of the story, the Thinker brings Dr. Hormone and Janie back through time to his headquarters, a great Roman temple sitting safely amid the hellish whirl, of primordial chaos there. Hormone and Janie sleep, awaiting the Thinker's further orders. They were never heard from again.
Yes. So,
now, you bring him back. He's a man out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And and we just go and see what he can do.
Now, this was one of the few comic or superheroes from this book that actually has a Wikipedia page. Yep. And it says that it appeared in Poppy Comics number 54, and it ran until issue number 60.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not much. You got to get a lot done in 6 issues then to never be heard from again and all the crazy adventures that he and Janie went on. All right, you think it's prime for a reboot, prime for a comeback, prime for a movie?
I say a cameo in an upcoming movie.
Mike, you're killing me.
That's.
I think this is ready. He is ready to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a cast out there. And I have an idea for Dr. Hormone.
Okay.
Scott Eastwood.
Okay. I like it.
And I'll tell you why. Because you can get Clint to play the old version pre-serum, transformation.
I agree. Yep.
And then Scott comes and boom. You got that one done. Like, and then for Janie, that one's going to be a little tougher, and I'll tell you why. I don't know any names of any young actresses. So I'm just going to Google young actresses.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean, I'm scared.
Yeah.
40 young stars who will one day rule Hollywood. No. Most talented actresses 30 or younger. Feel. Okay, let's give it a whirl. Nope. No, come on now. Nope, they're all too old. That's a weird thing to say. I apologize. Lord, I apologize. Nope. She's busy. Nope.
She's still Chloe Grace Moretz.
No, too old. I mean, that's fine. That's a perfectly acceptable choice on your part, and I feel bad for shooting it down so quickly. So like the first one that I would have come up with that jumped in my mind was the girl who was in the rebooted True Grit. Okay. And her name is Haley Steinfeld. She was also in the Bumblebee movie, which you can watch on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
But I still think she's too old. Like, I think you need. Like Chloe Moretz would have been good when she was like the age of when she was in Kick-Ass.
Okay.
I mean, again, I'm just going based on the image here, and this is literally a child. This is not a, you cannot put this person in, like they've done in high school movies and such
right.
for years. They're all in their 30s.
Yeah. So it's probably for Janie, it's probably somebody who we don't know yet. It's an unknown.
That's a good way to get me to stop looking at this particular. And I got to say, I'm not like creeping on this site. I'm just looking for anybody. But they're all like still they're all like they say, most talented actress 30 or younger, but they're like 25 to 29. Like all right, so let's move on. All right, that's Dr. Hormone in a nutshell. What's
next? What else we got?
You tell me.
I don't know.
This is your show.
Oh, I wish I would have known that before now.
Are you raking in all those royalty monies?
Yeah.
All right.
I forgot what we had on the Facebook page.
We literally. Oh, Facebook page. Okay. We'll get to that. There's that. Masks are available if you want one. Send us an email, nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. We've already gone back, talk about that. Da-ba-da-ba-da. Okay. Oh, yeah. So let's do a little follow-up from last week, shall we?
Ah, yes.
Yes. And by that I mean it is time. We're both wearing Superman shirts tonight. It is time to clarify once and for all that Superman beats Thor.
Now, here's the problem with that. You're wrong. And luckily, the great guys at Dynamic Duel Podcast.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them. They were actually kind enough to send us the actual stat-based results. This isn't popularity contest. This isn't, you know, anything else but stats. Based solely on stats and using, I always forget what it is. I always want to say Monte Cristo, and I don't think that's it.
Are you talking about whatever, particular software?
Some program? Use a bell curve type of thing. Some software. I don't know what it is.
I'm on it, Chief.
They say it every episode in their podcast, and I always forget it. Regardless, they sent us the results of our fight and what it would be. And that was Green Lantern versus Hawkeye, Batman versus Captain America, and Superman versus Thor. Now, the only controversial one was the Green Lantern versus Hawkeye. Because, and I'll go back a little bit more, they do the battle where a thousand times. Mm-hmm. Or a thousand or a hundred? A thousand times, I believe.
Thousand.
So whoever wins the most out of a thousand times, that's the winner, you know? And they always say it's because nobody wins a thousand times, you know? Batman could beat Superman one time, at least, you know? Now, when they gave us the results, which, once again, thank you to them, they had, and I don't understand this, they had Green Lantern beating Hawkeye.
Yeah. No, let's clarify, because I pulled up the results.
Okay, okay.
They have Green Lantern beating Hawkeye 977 out of 1,000 times.
Yeah. I've never seen one that high, to be honest with you.
So kudos to them, because they actually took the time, you know, to... it looks like the primary edge that Hawkeye has looks like it might be in hand-to-hand combat.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
But Green Lantern has the edge in speed, evasiveness, durability, strength, damage, range, and perception. They're both kind of criminally equal on the intellect scale. Again, the fighting is the lone spot where Green Lantern has the edge. Now, let's keep going, because I think we both knew at the end of last episode that that was the case. I mean, I think you conceded that one pretty quickly. So the Batman-Captain America battle, they had Batman winning 572 of 1,000 times. Pretty even, as you'd imagine. They both are equal in fighting, in damage, in strength, in durability. And I don't even know if I believe that strength part. I'm pretty sure that Captain America might be stronger, but I digress. Evasiveness, they're both equal in range. Batman has a slight edge in intellect and a slight edge in perception, and they're both pretty equal at speed. So it's those two, it's the intellect and perception that gives Batman the edge over Captain America. Now, let's go on to the final battle. Stop grinning over there, you jackass. The final battle was, of course, Thor v. Superman. And the terrific individuals at Dynamic Duels Podcast had Thor barely winning 515 to 485 out of 1,000. Let's look at here. Range, fighting, damage, and strength, they are the same. They have given the edge to Superman in intellect, perception. They're also the same in speed. They have a little bit of an edge to Thor for evasiveness and durability, and they followed it up with a delightful comment. They said, note, Superman did get a minor ding in durability because of his vulnerability to Thor's magic. So.
Yeah. Let's be honest. What was it? 515 to 485?
Yeah.
That's essentially a coin flip.
Yeah.
You know, that's how close it was.
I mean, when the individuals from Marvel even state that, you know what, you got to give that one to Superman, when they have a dog in the fight, I just feel like, and this again, much appreciation to the Dynamic Duo podcast for doing the legwork that, you know, they know how to do and we don't, you know, because they have the program or whatever. I just feel like that could easily be flipped, you know, 515 for Superman and 485 for Thor.
There's a lot of could. First of all, just because Marvel said it, well, that's politics for them, you know? Like I said, wasn't it the guy that wanted to go over to DC?
I don't remember, Mike.
I believe he was the one. He wanted to go over to DC, he was writing. He wanted to write for DC.
I've had a lot of beer since then.
Superman, of course he's going to win. Like I said, you can't get more fair than the way they do it.
You know what? All I know is that the cover of issue 4 of Avengers and JLA has Superman holding Captain America's shield and Mjolnir. So if he is worthy, then I really do feel like that tips the tide.
We don't know if that's real Mjolnir or not.
Oh, shut up with that shit.
We don't know that. You know?
Mike?
It looks fake to me.
Mike, did you even see the picture?
Yep, I remember in my head.
Yeah.
It's a fake shield and a fake hammer.
You know what I don't like, Mike? I don't like it when you're doing Sober Tober.
Yes. Neither do I. I got 2 weeks left.
All right. So, once again, terrific work doing the legwork. Dynamic Duel podcast. If you like this type of content, you can't go wrong. Throwing them a subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And also checking them out on social media, because they will break everything down for you. They will get scientific and blah, blah, blah. Apparently that's, you know, more official and more reliable than the head of Marvel saying the Superman would win, blah, blah, blah.
It is.
And Mike's just happy because I pulled Superman and he pulled Thor. But if this was the other way around, I don't think he'd be as like, oh, no, it's you know, you got to go. It's almost a coin flip, but Thor's going to win it all the time. Don't worry about that.
I mean, you never know.
And for the record, if it was the other way around, I'd be saying the same shit Mike's saying right now. All right, so that puts a button on that. We should do more of those, Mike. That was fun. We need to get together with our friends at the Dynamic Duo podcast and see if, you know, who would win in a battle of the podcasts and use their criteria.
Yes. I'm going to say them, but...
Really, Mike?
I would assume they get more downloads.
I would definitely give us the points in evasiveness, because it seems like we're a lot harder to find than...
That is true. Yeah. You definitely have to give us points for evasiveness.
Yes. All right. Yes. And that's how we win. All right. So what's our next topic, Mike?
I don't have Facebook in front of me.
Mike, what are you doing to me?
I wonder, actually, can I?
No, it's fine. Do we even care about talking about these Chewbacca shoes?
You put them up.
I did. I put them up here because Kevin put them up on the Jittery Monkey Facebook page. So I said, well, if he's going to put them up on that, I should at least throw them up in the Nerd United. There are the masks, of course, that are available. If you want one, send an email to nerdunitedpodcast@gmail.com. Lucasfilm reportedly eyeing Dave Bautista to play Darth Bane. And so this was shared to me by best friend of the show, Josh, who, by the way, is enjoying his birthday weekend celebration in Colorado with his wife and friends.
All right. Well, happy birthday to best friend of the show, Josh. And now, Josh, I'm going to tell you something, Josh. And I like it. You're the best friend of the show. if you click on the article and it starts off talking about we got this covered, or it says according to we got this covered, you need to immediately delete that article.
Uh-oh. Why?
Because we got this covered is the most clickbait, shitpost, horrible website.
Well, I just clicked it, Mike.
By the way, I'm not saying they're wrong on what they on this story. They could be right, but they will put out 1,000 stories. Like I could literally, you know, get a hold of them and say, Stan Lee actually recorded cameos for the next 100 Marvel movies, and they'll put it out.
Well. Okay.
Everyone makes mistakes. Nobody does. And by the way, once again, not saying this article, they could be right about this, because if you put out a bunch of stuff, eventually you're right about something.
Now, I am also curious as to when that article was posted, because according to Google, Lucasfilm eyeing Dave Bautista for Darth Bane Star Wars movie was on Pinterest July 1st of 2019. So, I'm very confused. So, I think that in this case, maybe we got this covered is, you know, I see a June 30th, 2019 from Reddit. You know, and good Lord, if it's, I mean, this is making the rounds for over a year now, Mike.
And also, I'll say, I don't know much about this because I thought Darth Bane was a made-up character.
Well, I mean, in what regards? Most fictional characters are made up, Mike.
That's true.
I don't know if you know how fiction works.
Yeah, that's true. But like, when, I thought like, it was like a fan-made character or something.
It is from... I'm going to be careful here because I'm not exceptionally well-versed on like the Star Wars extended universe type of stuff. You know, much of which was done away with as far as canon goes when Disney bought Star Wars. But I believe the Darth Bane is from one of those, like, obviously not in any of the movies. This would be, you know, I'm not going to say for lack of a better term, it's fan fiction that became, you know, canon, if that makes any sense, you know.
Right.
And again, this would be the time, people listening, to blow me up in the comments, because I'm sure I'm wrong, because I don't know. But while we're talking about it, are you familiar with the site Wookiepedia?
Yes.
I used to, when I was in radio, it's probably why I didn't go much further beyond, where I went in radio. But when I was in radio, I used to spend like hours looking at Wookiepedia and like deep diving into, you know, a lot of these characters and things like that. I'm just looking to see Darth Bane, a legendary human male Dark Lord of the Sith, sole survivor of the destruction of the Brotherhood of Darkness at the hands of the Jedi Order during the Jedi Sith War 1,000 years before the Clone Wars. Okay, so he's been dead a long time. That's all I want to know.
Okay.
Yeah. Created the Rule of Two. There you go. The Rule of Two, Mike. You remember what that is?
Yes, not one, but two.
Always two. There are no more, no less. All right, so moving on. You actually shared this one on
about Tatiana?
About Tatiana Maslany denying reports that she's been cast as Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk. Now, there were similar... I got to go back in my history book or time machine or whatever you want. My Wayback Machine, as it's called on other more successful podcasts. But there were similar denials, you know, things like that in the media when Paul Rudd was, you know, prepping for Ant-Man. So I don't know if this is something similar or if she's just not, you know, in it. A lot of people were saying, hey, you know, it opens up a spot for Gina Carano. I'm assuming I'm saying that right.
Yeah,
I figured I was. And I said years ago on this very podcast, when I did what I called a casting couch. This was before I knew what a casting couch actually was. I say, you know, you throw out the comic book character, and I'll give you my thoughts on who could play that on the big screen. And somebody said Wonder Woman, and I said Gina Carano. Of course, we've seen her in Deadpool. We've seen her now in The Mandalorian. A lot of people were saying, oh, you know, Gina Carano is a perfect choice. I'm like, you know what, though? They don't need a buffed-up actress to play She-Hulk because they're going to do, you know, CGI. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm thinking of. Yeah. You know, they're going to do digital effects on it anyway. So you don't need, like, Mark Ruffalo, not the most buff individual, you know. He's no Lou Ferrigno. So, you know, you don't need to do that. So, I don't know. I'm not really familiar with Tatiana Maslany's work. We just spoke earlier about some of the, you know, the most powerful, whatever, actresses under the age of 30. Get one of them. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not sure if and you could be right. It could be that she's just not allowed to say it. Like, maybe they put it out too early, and her publicist or whatever said, you know, we can't have this out yet. It could be a contract thing that maybe they thought, hey, we're 97% of the way there, and then something happened.
And there we go.
Yep.
Is that Ivy or Harley?
That's Harley, actually, surprisingly.
Harley, shut up.
Yes.
Yeah, she listened.
Well, that's because Nolan came in.
Oh, geez, Nolan. God, go back to your room.
He was watching, was it Crisis on Two Earths? You were Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, so I don't know if, I just found the report very odd that it was almost, I'd have to look. I don't know if Marvel necessarily confirmed it, but I know Mark Ruffalo congratulated her on Twitter.
Right.
You know. I don't think She-Hulk's going to come out till 2021 anyway, so.
We got some time to, you know, work on it.
They can get it figured out, yeah.
Oh, probably. Look at them. All right. Hopefully, you know, one thing at a time, and that thing is WandaVision. So, you know, we'll play it by ear.
Yes.
Moving on, speaking of one Marvel female to a slew of Marvel females, and this is one that you shared just earlier today, Mike. And mm-hmm. This was that the Boys showrunner, Eric Kripke, confirms that Girls Get It Done scene was a direct dig at Avengers Endgame. Mike, you seemed shocked by this.
Yeah, I said that's kind of obvious.
I want to read. I want to read the quote. This was in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter. Kripke says that, quote, a lot of that came from our executive producer Rebecca Masay-Sonnenschein. I might not get that right. Who came in after the weekend Endgame opened, he explained. She was furious. I saw it too, and I was like, that was the dumbest, most contrived. And she's like, don't get me started. She found it condescending, and I agreed. So that just created for us a target, a satirical target. When there's something really ridiculous in either superhero or celebrity or Hollywood culture, we'll immediately go after it. It's an easy shot. And as I read that last, you know, sentence or so, I'm like, they can do all of that because in the frame of The Boys, because in that world, you know, obviously the superheroes are real. They're superheroes. They are, by and large, beloved. So they're celebrities, and they're making movies. So they're Hollywood, culture. So I was like, yeah, look, it's obvious. It's been right there, you know, staring us right in the face. But it's one of those things where, when you see it sitting down, I'm like, yeah, they can go at it so many different ways. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, in that regard, I was like, yeah, they can hit, you know, some of the silliness from all angles. But so many people were like, oh yeah, that you know, female ensemble, you know, scene was, oh, it was everything. And like, I know I'm not a female, and, you know, my species or whatever has been very well represented numerous times on the big screen, but I looked at him like, that seems forced as hell. You know, that's, you know, it, and so, like, I get it. And then, you know, when they had, you know, spoilers in the, towards the end of the second season of The Boys, where they reiterated that girls get it done thing, and then they, you know, all gang up on another one, and where they kind of like knowing nod. I was like, okay, well, you know, they've moved on. You know, they pushed the story forward, but I probably, you know, caught, I don't know if he caught backlash, you know, for that particular aspect of the, of, you know, that scene in The Boys, or if, you know, he just addressed it, but man, I don't disagree with him and you know, the executive producer, who I'm not going to say her name again because I don't want to butcher it or take the chance of butchering it twice. You know, I feel like, I feel vindicated. I'm like, yeah, see, it was shoehorned in there, you know?
Yeah, and so watching The Boys, they actually had a genuine
pony?
genuine female, like all female fight scene that actually made sense compared to the Avengers Endgame one. Like you said, the Avengers Endgame one was very much contrived. It was very much, hey, we have a bunch of females. Let's put them all together in this scene and they'll fight. Well, it didn't make sense because Captain Marvel just took the gauntlet and flew away. They're like, nobody was, you know, Pepper Potts' character rescue wasn't helping. None of the other characters, Mantis wasn't helping at all. But Captain Marvel was way more powerful, you know?
And I feel like, and I'm not trying to interrupt you, although I always say that right when I'm interrupting you, but I would, and we got aspects of it in Infinity War, you know, when it included the, I'm going to use the word, and I don't mean it in any disrespect, but like the matriarch of the Avengers, and that was Black Widow. You can't have, mm-hmm. you know, a girl team up in the MCU without Black Widow because she's been there since Iron Man 2, you know?
Right. But if you compare that scene in Avengers Endgame with the females to the scene in The Boys where it's...
now you're talking about the season finale?
Yeah. Okay. And spoiler alerts, but, you know...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So it's Maeve, Starlight, and...
The woman.
The Kim something or other, I can't remember her name, basically beating the shit out of Stormfront. That's a legit scene because they're the only females there. So it's not them saying, hey, we're going to put the females together. No, they're the only ones there. And they all have a reason for being there,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and
they all have to use their powers against her.
And
you know?
they all had, I mean, you said it, they all had a reason to be there, but they all had a reason to not like Stormfront.
Right, yes, yes.
You know, I mean, so they all had the motivation to fight, not just like, la-di-da, let's skip up, and I don't like her nails. I think her hair looks right. Like crap. You know, so, you know, they all had personal reasons to fight that fight. And, you know, and they're only... No, I'm not gonna say anymore. I don't want to spoil it. Yeah, so I don't disagree with Kripke. You can check out the full interview on thehollywoodreporter.com. I'm not gonna link it. I'm too lazy.
Okay.
Yes. So what else we have, Mike? Anything?
I watched a couple of cartoons. Well, I guess... Not cartoons, I guess DC movies, we'll say. DC animated movies.
Okay, tell me about them, Mike.
I saw All-Star Superman, which I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have, and I've read the book.
Oh, okay. Mr. Fancy Pants.
Actually,
there.
The book is right in front of me.
I don't know why you're showing a picture of your crotch there, but...
That was... Moving on.
a good movie. I found it funny, and I'm not going to really spoil anything. But the part of it is that the premise is that Superman is just so powerful, almost too powerful,
a little
for his own good. Although I don't know if it was in this one or in another one I watched. One of the powers they talk about with Superman is that he can like basically like see atoms and stuff like that, which I found it very interesting. So I watched All Star Superman. And then I saw Justice League Doom.
Fantastic. Which,
yes, which I knew about that one because every once in a while on Facebook, they'll show the clip of Justice League figuring out that Batman was the one who had the plans to immobilize each member of the Justice League. Like, he figured out how you would take down Wonder Woman, how you would take down the Flash, blah, 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 you know, and then those are used against them. And then I saw, what did I see, Greg?
You saw Dark Phoenix.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's right. I did see Dark Phoenix. I forgot about that. So Dark Phoenix got a very bad rap, but watching it, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't the worst X-Men movie, that's for sure. I don't even think it was the worst in the newish X-Men lineup.
Like the first-class version? Class.
Yeah. Now, granted, I didn't have to pay for it, so that was good. If you link up, you know, First Class, I think Apocalypse is next. Or no, Days of Future Past.
Yeah,
Apocalypse, and then there's so many holes in the timeline, so you know that was always a bad thing. I disagree with me if you want, but I didn't like the Jean Grey character.
Yeah, I mean, I like the actress. You know, you can only do so much with what you're given.
That's true. You know, I didn't think she was she's very good at everything else except for the part where she had to like struggle in her mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
like that internal conflict stuff.
Yeah. Internal conflict type of stuff. Yeah. But overall, you know, I liked some of the fight scenes. If this spoils it, it's been out for a while now, but the one part that was very odd to me that didn't really make sense, was Nightcrawler all of a sudden just going like crazy homicidal? Like there was no build up to it.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't even remember that part.
It was when they were on the train, and I can't remember, something happens to him. He sees something, and then all of a sudden he just starts screaming, which was funny to me because it's supposed to be intimidating, and don't get me wrong, I wouldn't be able to fight Nightcrawler no matter what his size is, but he's about 90 pounds soaking wet. And then he just starts screaming like crazy, but then he goes and like basically like kills a bunch of people. Like his tail's going through people's necks and stuff, and then it's just over.
I'm trying to pull the clip up here briefly. Without sound, which is always the best.
Yeah. The good fight scenes. Of course, Michael Fassbender is always amazing in it.
Yeah, no, Fassbender. I mean, there's a reason why I can sit there and watch the Assassin's Creed movie. There's a reason that I can sit there and watch the Jonah Hex. And look, it's the same reason. And that's Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot he was in the Assassin's Creed movie. Also, I've never seen Assassin's Creed, but I might have to check it out. Yeah, so I saw Dark Phoenix. I saw Justice League, Crisis on Two Earths. That's probably one of my favorite ones. next to Doom, of course. And I felt like there was one other one, and now I can't remember. But I did.
Throne of Atlantis is what you said.
Ah, Throne of Atlantis. Yes, thank you. Which was essentially a kind of origin story of Aquaman. It was more of his introduction to the Justice League and figuring out who he is.
Yeah. All sounds right. All right, a couple other things to talk about here, and then we're going to wrap things up. We both watched, courtesy of Mike sharing the link with me, we watched the MODOK trailer, the MODOK show that's coming to Hulu. And yes. My comment to you was something like, aimed at not us. I mean, you know, it's got, you know, it looks like if Robot Chicken was going to be a half-hour show about one character.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, and don't get me wrong, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, I loved Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Then I grew up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely aimed at college kids and teens, is what I said.
Yeah.
And it is right. It's stop motion. Not what I expected from MODOK. I don't know much about MODOK, but it wasn't what I expected.
No, but I'm with you.
Created by Patton Oswalt, though, so I kind of understand he's a stand-up comedian. So I'm curious of what, because Kevin Smith was going to do one, and I know he's not anymore. What was he going to do? I forget.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, that's right. I'm curious if his would have been also comedy based.
I'm sure. Or not. I mean, based on the character alone, yeah, I would say, you know, some element of comedy there.
Yeah.
Comic book movies or comic book movie on Facebook did a production still of. I don't know if it's Robat Bat and Bat or the stuntman on the, what I guess is going to evolve to be the Bat Cycle. And the top comment at the time says something like, this doesn't look like a major motion picture. It looks like what would happen if, and then you can't see all that. I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock. Like, I and this is going to lead into our final topic of the night, and that is, you know, like stupid commenters on social media. It's like they haven't done any of the post-production stuff yet. You know, I'm almost certain that when we see this scene play out on the big screen, when it's all done, that, you know, Robat Bat and Bat's probably going to have a cape furling behind him. That's one, you know, aspect of it. And then the other one was, and we touched on this in the YouTube video this week, and that is Michael B. Jordan has been is in collaboration with Warner Brothers Pictures to produce a Static Shock movie. And like more than half the comments are, he's too old to be Static Shock. And yeah, you're right, but it says produce. It didn't say star in, you know. It's like how many people just think before they type something out on social media? And I know the answer, and it makes me sad.
And most of the time, people just look at the headline.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even say that for the Static Shock one, because like you said, the headline said he was producing it.
Like I didn't click the article to see. I'm not, you know.
I think they saw the word Static Shock and
Michael B.
Jordan, and they just put their own sentence together.
So those are two things, and then the last one really is not about, you know, stupid commenters on social media. This is from comicbook.com, and it says the Russo brothers and Zack Snyder are uniting in asking Congress to bail out movie theaters. Now, we are in unprecedented times. Can we all agree?
Yes. Yes, we all, everyone here, yes, we all agree.
Okay. That being said, is it, and I hope, I don't think there's a way that I can say this without coming off hypocritical, because I also took that, you know, $1,200 or whatever it was, you know, back in April. You know, and I stashed it away because I know that in my tax return in 2021, they're going to want that money back. But it's like, you can't bail everybody out, you know? Is that, you look, when you have theaters that are closing, like what was it, Regal, I think was closing right. all of their things. And I mean, if nothing else, I think this is going to lead the way for more independently run movie theaters. You know, like if in our area, in the St. Louis metro area, Werenberg is a big name. And if Werenberg start to be like, you know, we're going to have to close this location, well, somebody's going to come in because, like, it's my experience that, you know, or my observation, not experience, but you can really only use movie theater buildings for one thing in this movie theaters. So if Werenberg's out, somebody's going to come in and pick that up on a song, you know? I mean, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a libertarian and I just be like, you know what? Government doesn't need to be bailing anybody out. They can't get themselves squared away yet. So,
yeah. Well, I'll say that movie theaters, like the big movie theater chains, you know, the Werenberg, Marcus, Regal, AMC, stuff like that, they might go away for a year or two, but they'll always come back.
Yeah.
Like you might have a year or two where your mom and pop type of movie theaters are doing better. I won't even say doing good, but doing better. But then, you know, 2022, whenever everybody goes, hey, we want to go back to the movie theaters and it's safe to go back, you know, 90% of the people, let's say, want to, the big chains will come right back.
Yeah.
They're too powerful.
I mean, like, I think about, like, for example, the Eagle Theater up in the town in Nebraska where I, you know, lived and worked for a few years. And they have three screens, I think. They have, like, one big one, then two smaller ones up a little side staircase on each side. And I think about them. And, like, okay, but they're in a college town, and they'll bounce back, you know. And if they can bounce back in as remote and isolated as they are, because they're the only movie theater for 50 miles or so, you know, then I feel like if they can bounce back, then, you know, about the thing is going to be, and it's not, I get it. You know, the only reason that I would even consider siding with, you know, like the Russos or Zack Snyder on this is because it's like, hey, the movie theaters didn't choose to shut down. You know, Hollywood didn't choose to not be able to distribute their movies. This was essentially a government decision, be it federal or state, that I say, you know what, we can't congregate, you know, can't be, you know, among people. And but I think it as a taxpayer, it opens up a dangerous precedent of, okay, well, are, you know, the owners of, you know, sports arenas or music arenas, you know, everybody in the entertainment industry who's taking a hit, are they all going to, you know, hold their hand out and be like, you really put us behind the eight ball, government. We're going to need some of that sweet, sweet, you know, bailout money. It sets a dangerous precedent.
Yeah. There's definitely a slippery slope because you can also talk about the restaurants, you know, that had to close down as well.
And I mean, I know a lot of places, you know, like going back to the beginning of this, Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, you know, they filled out all the necessary paperwork that they could so that they would be able to get that, you know, little bump, you know, bump up. So, you know, businesses who do that, and you find ways to adapt. They were doing curbside type of, you know, service for a while and call ahead and, you know, they'll bring the comics out to you or whatever it was, you know, just like, you know, so many restaurants have done away with but, you know, they've added curbside pickup to, you know, usually it was carry out, but you're still got to walk inside, you know, now a lot of places who weren't offering delivery, before offering delivery, or you've got the DoorDashes and things like that. So it's, I don't know, I feel it going down, like you said, the slippery slope of if you give to one, you're going to have to give to everybody.
Yeah.
So, and we as a country don't have that much money just lying around.
Yeah.
So.
I wish we did, but, you know.
All right, Mike, anything else we have for this delightful episode that we ended on a real high note?
Yeah. No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, everybody, that'll do it for this episode of Nerds United. Hopefully you like what we're doing. If you do, you know, comment. If you haven't yet, hit the subscribe button. Leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. I've got a lot of stuff in the Nerds United prize vault to give away, so send me an email with your address, and I'll send you a box of something. NerdsUnitedPodcast@gmail.com. No charge. It's just got to go. So Mike knows because I've been slowly trickling comics and movies and things like that to him for months now. So, like all my stuff's, you know, I take care of it all. You're not going to get anything that's, you know, torn in half or anything like that. So if you are interested, take pity on old Greg. I'll even chip in on shipping. And or not shipping, I'll pay for shipping. Just, you know, send an email to nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com and receive something from the Nerds United vault. And that'll do it for this episode of Nerds United. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. My name is Greg Mahochko. We're out of time. I mean, we're not the power half hour, so we don't really have a time limit per se. But that's all we have to discuss this week on Nerds United. So be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.